back from Smack Off break, joined by the infamous, the famous host of Wood Scopes, 12 Wood himself. Wood, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Dude, it is my pleasure, man. This podcast you do is killing it, dude. I love it.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to come on your show a couple times, so happy to have the microphone turned around and we get to learn a little bit about you now, because everybody watches you every other Friday now.
Yeah, and, every other Friday. We just mentioned, I think you were even on the very first, or if not the second, it wasn't even called Woodscopes, it was just Tayless Interview Clones.
It was just you guys at a campfire.
The campfire, dude, I'll be honest with you, that night, I remember we were laying in the tent, and we sold my camp, so now we got a tent, and we were staring up the stars, it's like 2 a.m, and I looked over at my brother, I was like, dude, he's like, what, and I go, we just talked to a Smack Off guy, Matt in Vancouver. He looks at me, he goes, dude, he's in the Smack Off? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Because he hasn't been following that close to the Jim Rome show until just recently. And
sure.
Then, yeah, when I told him that you were the Smack Off, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but yes. But I appreciate the words. I remember, I think you guys were drinking beers. And I think I was having some beers or something, and then I remember just the Periscope notification came up, and I hopped in, and I don't remember exactly how it happened, but you're like, hey, why don't you just give us a call? I'm like, all right, sure. And we just shot the shit for a little while.
Yeah, dude, those were some good times. We're gonna rehash that here in a couple weeks.
Nice.
512 Lumber's coming up to Wisco. We're gonna do the clone stock again. Here is a little secret. The clone stock was my idea. No, I don't say that just to be like, hey, it's not Kyle's, but it was kind of like one day I was on Twitter and I DM'd as many Wisconsin clones as I possibly could, and I said, hey, my brother's gonna be up here in September, who wants to get together at the Packer game that day? And then Kyle was the first one in, and he's like, dude, I could get some cakes and stuff. I was like, dude, do it. So he took over, but it was like kind of like he was birthed out of my twin brother coming up here. So
nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. But now we're doing the second year of it, and it's gonna be good, man. I mean, I've heard some clones from distances will be showing up, so I don't know.
You gonna we'll do see. Any on location live scoping?
I was gonna do it last year, but Kyle's got a buddy who has like a DJ service or something like that, and they put the speakers on the back of the truck. Dude, you can't hear yourself think. It's so loud. And you know you're getting old, and it's like, can someone just turn that down?
Yeah, I fucking feel you. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty fun. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to come to Lambeau or not, but
dude, nope.
it's an epic time. It's the, I don't know, the Taj Mahal of NFL football stadiums, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually a good buddy of mine's a Packer fan, and so it's probably a good excuse for me and him to get down there. I'd love to come to Wisco. I was kind of joking with Benny about like the prototypical or stereotypical view I would have of it before going there, similar to probably what you guys would think of Canada.
Oh,
like you paint this kind of this image, and I'm sure it would just be totally upside down from what it actually is.
Yeah, don't tell anyone I said this, but I've never done a ranch shot, and I don't know that I've ever seen anyone do a ranch shot, but we just won't tell anyone that's fake.
I've had poutine like fucking 3 times in my whole life, and like it's everybody thinks that we're up here having it like on a daily basis.
That's awesome.
You gotta seek it out.
We could probably do fat free ranch shots if you ever come here, though. I know you Canadians like to stay lean. That reminds me, if we're gonna go back to the Smack Off, can I call you beautiful?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's what you said in your Smack Off call.
That was the opening line. Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Dude, your call was. It was better than 10th place. I'll tell you that right now. You Canadians, man, you guys had the shit stirred up on the. On the Smack Off. The shit,
and,
I loved it.
And to be totally honest, I kind of knew that based on how kind of much of a topic we were going into it. I knew that the fact that I had to go like second. Out of everybody, like I knew I was gonna get buried, and you don't get a chance to respond to anybody. But that's my second year. I know where my role is too, so it's like I knew basically, even as hot as we were going in, feuding with the guys that we were feuding with, I knew that there's a good chance that we were gonna get just murdered and have to go early, and that's pretty much what happened. But I kind of see that as paying your Smack Off dues, and I think I'll earn a later slot next year, and you know, just climb the ladder as best you can.
There's advantages and disadvantages in my opinion. You go first, you don't have to like rewrite your script all the way through the, you know, because people will say that they had something written down or they were going to say something and then someone two calls before them says the same exact thing, so you have to rewrite.
Sure.
Whereas if you go first, you're giving them ammunition to just come after you.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, going back to the whole, like, what was the topic of this year's Smack Off? It was going to be the Canadians versus the Americans,
right,
or the old versus the new. And it seemed like it was more focused on the Canadians and Americans than it was the old and the new.
Yeah. Because
where was Jeff Richmond?
Yeah, and I can disclose this now that we're like a month out and like, you know, the season's over. Tyler and I, that was our plan from day one. Like, basically exactly kind of how it went down until the actual Smack Off itself.
Yeah, you guys did a good job of that.
It was because we were fringe guys the year before, and like, rather than kind of having to reclaim our territory and over again, or like make sure that we got on that day, we're like, we need to bully our way in there and piss everybody off. We need to just piss everybody off. And it worked like a charm, man. Everybody was fucking pissed. It was, except Rome. And, like, as long as Rome likes us and everybody hates us, then that makes people hate us even more. So it was really... it was burning red hot.
I love the buzz that was going on, like, the days of. Like, you know, you're taking photos of New York or whatever you're done of the street signs.
Right.
And Mike and Andy is, like, stirring up shit. People had, oh, here's what's going to happen. You know, Mike and Eddie's gonna team up with you guys, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And also, we gotta talk about the wood scopes. And I get a text from you that says, "We're not teaming up." I'm like, "Oh my, dude, that made my show so much better. I appreciate that."
Well, that's the fun thing about the jungle, right? It's like we're all kind of in it, whether or not the show's on. We're still like, at least the diehard guys, we're all still kind of living it day in and day out. It's not just 9 till noon. And like a lot of people say that's nerdy as hell and whatnot, and they're absolutely right, but it's fun nonetheless.
It is. It's try to explain to someone.
It's impossible.
You're not married. Be thankful you're not married, just because trying to explain. I have to explain to my wife tonight that I'm going on a podcast from another clone. What? I thought you were doing wood scopes every week. No, it's every other week, but this is a podcast.
Right.
But what do you think of all these side shows? Have you ever seen another show where there's all these shows within the shows?
No,
you know,
man.
Or
I think it's 100% unique, and like you kind of kicked it all off, and like I know like other guys used to Periscope before, but you made it like a show. Like I know like Cobb and NorCal, you'd like scope from his minivan and shit, but that never was the same deal as what you've become now.
Cobb, dude, every time I get a notification that Cobb was on, dude, I was like, I gotta stop what I'm doing.
Cobb was probably my number one watch. I always watch Cobb.
My intent was not to, like, run him out of business or, you know, or anything
obviously
like that.
Obviously not, no.
It was just, you saw it, you witnessed it. I was campfiring with my brother. We're just chilling out. Next thing you know, let's scope again. Next thing you know, it's like, yeah, my brother's gone. I have to do this by myself, you
right.
know? And I was nervous as hell because the first time I did, I think I had Mike, Raider Mike on.
Right.
Or Silk Bra, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Legend.
What am I gonna do? I'm gonna mess up. Now it's like last week I had DA on.
Right.
And I had to like, I don't know, it's kind of like a humble brag, but it's like, I'm not nervous anymore, you know?
Right.
One time recently, Adam Hawk was like, hey, can I come on the wood scopes? And I was like, oh shit, is this like disguised as, hey, can I come on wood scopes, but it's actually going to be Jim Rome?
Right.
So I got a little nervous, and then Adam Hawk, he gives me a very familiar phone number. I'm not going to say what it was, but I'm sure you could guess what it was. And this was like 5 minutes before the show starts, and I was like, holy shit balls, I'm not going to be talking to Adam Hawk. Dude, you can see it. I started that episode. If you rewind, go back to the beginning of the Wisco.
I think I watched that one, man.
Say again?
I think I was watching that night live, actually.
I was nervous as hell.
Yeah, I did. Come to think of it, I definitely saw that. Yes. Because you were Griffin. You're like, is this going to be it? Is this going to be the night?
Yeah, right. I didn't say anything, but I was expecting when I called that phone number, it was going to be Woodman. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I have like a whole list of questions ready for if Jim Rome ever surprises me.
I wonder.
But even if he did, even if he did, I think I'm gonna be global warming, dude. I'm gonna be Drew the Jumpman Gillett, and I won't even find those questions. I have them written down on my phone. But I'm just gonna be the guy. I can't find them. I'm bailing. I'm out.
as long as you get those phone call reps in, I think that helps.
Yeah, I'm calling tomorrow, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, because well, Liz in Fall City called this week.
Yeah, I heard that.
And she told Jim Rome that had DA on, and DA said that he was supposed to come on, and Jim Rome said, I will do it, but I've heard Wood say that if I come on, he's going to end the show. Well, no, it's not going to happen. This is my hobby. If Jim Rome comes on the Wood Scopes, I'm going to keep doing this as long as I'm having fun, as long as people are entertained by it.
Right.
And I mean, it's definitely a grind. I mean, there's times where it's just like, ugh, I got to do this. And the second I hit that go button on Friday nights, man, it's I flip over. Like, I go from like, oh, I want to quit to like, this is so worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And as long as it's fun and entertaining, I hate going bi-weekly. The main reason I'm doing that is because I got a crew now.
Right.
And for me to ask them to give up all their Friday nights is kind of dickish, but
yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. I don't envy the fact that you do a live show. Like, that's eminently harder than this shit, because I can schedule this, and like, as I just had a month off because the Smack Off is in the middle of it, so like, I can take a month off, and like a podcast, like, we can drop it on a Wednesday, you can drop it on a Saturday, you just kind of drop them as they come.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you're that's obligated, cool. Right, you know what I mean? Like, you have people counting on you to be ready to go at like the drop of the hat at the queue at 7 o'clock or 7 Pacific my time, so like, that's an entirely different animal. Yeah, and then you kind of have the pressure of like, people seeing how many people are watching you and all that, and like the chat room and all that stuff. Whereas I get shit talked, but thankfully it's after the fact. Like, I've already released it, and people are like, "Well, this episode was this, or this episode was that." I'm like, "Yeah, well, it is what it is. It's done." Whereas you're seeing it in real time. You're seeing these comments, so
it's intense. You know, it's sometimes it's. You look at the numbers as you're going, and it's.
Sure.
I remember one time when we had. I want to say it was the week that we had Bodie on. Bodie and King Bo Christ, and I can't remember who the third person was.
Bo was my guy, yeah.
And I remember looking at the screen, and we had 99 live viewers at once. I mean, if that's a lot for someone who doesn't show his tits, you know. So,
yeah, man.
So I was. We were peaking pretty good that time, and I remember we logged off. And the immediate number was, I want to say like 900, which is good on a normal like final number, 900 is
decent
for me. But the thing is these are the Periscope watchers that you're seeing. The numbers are the Periscope watchers. A lot of the viewers are clones that you and I have never even heard of.
I agree.
Who watch it through my Twitter account, and it's like. I wish there was some way of someone showing me, keeping track of that.
Right.
Because I have, like, tonight I had a guy who followed me. I can't remember his name. And every time someone follows me on Twitter, I always go to them and I say, thanks for the follow. Because I don't want to be a dick. And
think sure.
I'm cool for them.
Sure.
And I can't tell you how many times someone will say, oh, dude, I love your Wood Scopes. And it's like, why don't you chime in? Dude, I want to see new faces chime in. I want to see them say, you know, I don't know. It's always the same people talking on the Scopes, and I think it'd be cool to see a bunch of no-namers, you know, saying shit. But
I kind of get it though, because like, I was a clone from like 03 or 04 until probably like 2012. I didn't say shit. I never emailed, I didn't tweet, I just listened. And like, I knew everything about the show that I know now. I just wasn't involved, you know. Like, I was just strictly like a passive listener, as Rome calls them, like just the passive. Just sat there. I listened every day, like I do now. Right. But I just never interacted. And then, you know as well as I do, once you get that first content contribution, it gives you this little kick, and then you kind of chase that. And then if you're any good at it, you get it somewhat frequently.
Rough,
yeah. And then like, for me, it was like I went from the email / Twitter or whatever to the phone lines, and like, Twitter and the email become nothing, and now the phone line became nothing, and then the phone line wasn't enough, and I needed to get into the Smack Off, and then like, now I'm like a 10th place Smack Off guy who needs to win the whole fucking thing. It's just like,
yeah,
it's this kind of this weird evolution of a stupid radio show that's like, we all know is just fun as hell to be involved in.
I think we talked about this when you came on the Woodscope, but do you remember your very first tweet or email that was read?
Yeah, it was something about USA. Somebody in America made fun of Canada about protecting America with their, or protecting Canada with their nuclear umbrella. And I emailed in and said something along the lines of like, yeah, keep patting yourself on the back for having world-ending weapons. We'll chill up here and like go fishing with a beer. Something, and then Rome read it and he really liked it. So like that kind of, you know how it is when you get a kick out of that. And then so I sent in another email and then that one got read and I'm like, oh shit, maybe I have, you know, maybe I have some skill. And then I became kind of one of the more frequent emailers and then decided to call one day.
Where do you remember exactly where you were the first time? Did you hear it live or was it like on a Stuxnet later on? Or
no, I heard it live. Yeah, I was just tooling around in my work vehicle, man. Yeah, and like I sent it from my phone, kind of at a work stop, and then I was driving in between jobs, and heard Rome read it and laugh and stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, I can get used to that.
Did you just want to like roll out your window and just like shout out, I just got read on Jim Rome?
Yeah, I was also like, I was kind of like, holy shit, because KB was screening at the time. And like I was like, oh shit, KB must think I'm kind of funny. That's awesome, blah blah blah. And like looking back now, you're just kind of like, oh man, what a dork. But yeah, at the moment, it feels cool.
That's exactly kind of what happened to me too. Is like I work in an office where customers actually come into my office, and I remember I sent the tweet before they came in, and all of a sudden from behind me on the radio, on a soft radio, I hear 12 Wood tweets. And I was like, wait, what did I tweet? I can't remember what I tweeted, you know. And it's like I wanted to like. You know, I wanted to, like, take the people out of my office so I could listen to what was said. And I just remember thinking, how cool was that, you know?
Right, yeah. And, like, it's totally...
Drunk, man. It's,
and we both fully admit it's nerdy as hell. Like, it's a dorky thing.
Nerdy, dude.
But it's a little kick, right? Because, you feel like you kind of earn your way past the gatekeepers to a degree and, like, to
Absolutely.
Be part of the on-air show.
Were you inspired by any emailers before you?
Lee and Van is one of my all-time favorites. Like, he's been around forever. I remember Lee and Van emailing since basically email became a major part of the show. And, like, he was always a big-name guy. I always liked him. And actually, I don't know if he wants me to say this or not, but him and I were actually talking just today about going golfing. We've never met still, but we live in the same vicinity, so we're thinking about going golfing.
Yeah, Lee, this is a little plug, but Lee in Vancouver will be on the next Woodscopes.
So, oh, nice, man. You got him. I tried to get him a little while ago, but I tried to get him and Steve MPHX, and you got them both.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's like, so going back to the whole inspiration thing, Blazing KC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which, if everything goes okay, he'll be on too as well. So
nice.
Blaze and Lee in the same
Blaze, old school, yeah.
So Blaze, I remember one time I was listening to the Jim Rome show, and this was probably in 2000, and gosh, man, it was probably 2010, 11.
Okay.
And Jim Rome was like, he was like, Blaze, you need to be A or F. And we all remember that. And he was like, Blaze came in, and he had an A, and then he had an F, and then he had an A, and then Jim's like, you need to just be one or the other. And then he's like, Blaze, let's just go through all your tweets. And Jim literally read just like his last 10 tweets. I was like, dude, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know? Because here's the thing. My opinion of Jim Rome is that he's the greatest sports. Well, you know, in my opinion, he's the greatest radio guy of all time.
Right.
And whether it's religion, sports, just current affairs.
Shit, I'll ride with that.
He's my favorite. I mean, I've heard Howard Stern. I used to listen to this guy by the name of Mantel Muller. And Jim Rome is definitely, I've listened to him since like 2001.
Yeah, I'm with you. Rome's my guy too, for sure.
To be a character, you know, because you think about it, we're characters in his show.
I agreed, yeah.
You look at Parody Larry, or you hear people in the days that they start complaining because they haven't had a tweet read in like 6 months.
Right.
Dude, you are a character. You should be happy because your name is familiar in one of the most popular talk shows of all time. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And right. Like anything that you do get on the air with, and I still feel this way. I've only been in a couple smack offs and stuff now, but like I don't wait on hold all that long like I used to. Like, but I've paid my dues kind of doing that. And I always and I still feel like anything you get on the air at any given time it's all gravy. Like Romo is none of us anything. So it's like whatever is best for his brand and his show is what he's got to do. And if that so happens to be a couple Canadians meeting in the Smackoff, then that's awesome, and I feel privileged to be like a part of that. But if the time comes where he like doesn't want something, you know, he doesn't want me calling the show anymore, or if he doesn't want this podcast to exist, like, it stops, you know what I mean? Like, it's the wrong show. You know what I mean?
It's but you understand your brand and you understand your part in the show, and he likes that, and he knows that you're always gonna be the Canadian who smacks those fat Americans eating our cheeseburgers while you're doing sit-ups, and
yeah,
you know, it's definitely your brand, man. And,
well, it's like you just said about characters, right? Like, it's a character creation, and a lot of some people on Twitter don't fully understand that, and they actually get bent out of shape about things. And it's like, you got to understand, like, it's the provocation is kind of like the goal. So if American is sitting there and they're actually getting upset, and like, you fucking Canadian son of a bitch, it's just like, that's kind of what I'm going for, you know? That's kind of
yeah. I hear you. So like, when you going back to your Smackoff call, and I know I have a habit of just asking you the questions, but okay, your Smackoff call, you go after people like Left Laguna and Mike and Indy. You know, people who don't know any of you guys probably think you guys just all hate each other, but in reality, we all get along.
Right.
Which is so weird. It's definitely part of the act, part of the characterism and all that. So
yeah, that's for sure. Like, after a couple guys, I won't name names, but like a couple guys, after they got done their calls, like, we sent each other texts, you know, like, good job, feels good to be done. Because I don't know, man, like, the pressure building up to the Smackoff, particularly like the week before it, like, I don't know, it's shit ain't easy, and it's hard to really describe kind of what how much of your mind it occupies going up to it. And like,
did you even sleep
The night before? You know what, this year I slept a little bit better than I did last year. I was up all night. This year I caught like 4 hours, and then but I was up 5 hours before bell, still getting everything ready. And it's just,
I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be like, I'd be so nervous, man. I'm never gonna be a Smackoff guy, that's for sure. But it's
You never know, man. I never thought I'd see the day either. So
you gotta be able to have that kind of smack. And I'm too friendly with everyone. That's my fault.
Well, yeah, I definitely don't hesitate to ruffle some feathers. There's definitely detractors, but you gotta stay on brand.
Yeah, I hear you. So what you think of Jim Rome picking Brad and Trona? Was it did you feel that was the right choice, or
it's kind of hard to give detailed analysis when my face was on his cock, you know? It's like I mean, I tweeted out at the time during the Smackoff that I thought that would win it, and like afterwards I said Brad earned it. That said, I don't know that like that's the direction I think the Smackoff should be going. Like, does that mean next year if I put his face on toilet paper and I wipe my ass, does that mean I win next year? So it's kind of like, that's if that's the direction we're going to go with it, then that's fine, but I'm probably going to stick with just smack, you know? Like,
no, you're right, but here's my theory behind it. It's not so much the fact that he put you and Tyler on his
which worked, and I don't want anybody to get me wrong. It worked.
He recognized what the theme was this year, and he attacked it.
Yeah, I agree.
It was you and Tyler, and it was you know, America, USA, USA, and you know, tell me how my ass tastes and all that. But it's
I agree.
It's if you want to wipe your ass with Brad and Trona toilet paper next year, just make sure it's part of the theme. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, quite a few people reached out on Twitter after the fact and said, like, Brad wouldn't have had a call if it wasn't for us, kind of thing. Like, we basically kind of brought that feud to life. And, like, that, I agree with all that. Like, but going into the Smackoff, I kind of knew how that was shaping up, too. Like, I wasn't under any illusions that Tyler and I were going to catch, like, a Mike and Indy type break where we were going to get to go like second last or whatever, you know. Like, we don't have that kind of pull yet. We're still amateur, and I know our shtick is all arrogance and cocky and like we're here to win, and that's kind of what it has to be. But like, in reality, like, I knew
you recognize the brand, and that's the important thing. I mean, just chase the themes and
and we're talking about guys. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's got a fistful of Smackoff rings, right? And I've got an 11th place finish, and Tyler's got a 12th place finish before this year. So, like, of course, we're a couple, like, young, up-and-coming shit-talkers, but we're going against a guy with a fist full of rings. The bias is already going to be in that direction anyway. So, like, it kind of unfolded as I thought it would, but, you know, props to Brad.
Was there ever a moment where you guys were talking gimmicks, you and Tyler, or anything like that?
No, nothing recently. We like, even pre-New York, we kind of dismissed the idea. Just wasn't really. I don't think either of us want to, like, be that thoroughly connected. Like, we're happy with the Team Canada stick, but we're still our own callers, right? We're kind of our own deal.
Did Leff and Laguna jump the shark, or is this something that's going to make its way back around?
I think that's up to Leff. I mean, he could rest on his laurels right now, and he'd be first ballot Hall of Famer. So, like, there's no pressure on him to come back and be great, but I think based on his resume, he's going to come back and he'll rattle off at least another Smack-Off title.
I hear you.
Don't tell him I said that, though. Fuck you, Leff, if you heard that.
Yeah. My opinion of Leff is that he's one of the greatest callers of all time. Everyone knows on Team Leff. It's I think last year, before he brought in Terrence, he had enough smack to win it himself, which is what he had.
There's no doubt. Yeah. That's fucking phenomenal. He's hilarious. He's legitimately hilarious, and a lot of things gets overshadowed by kind of the stunty aspects, but I've gone back, I've broke tape, like, his calls, his jokes hold up, his delivery is generally pretty strong, and, like, you know, there's not a lot of flaws in Left Smack game.
Mike and Indy, did you think he had enough game to win this year?
You know, I think based on his year off and then the retirement and the unretirement, I think Rome was looking for more out of him. Kind of similar to Tyler and myself. He was looking for more out of us based on the hype that we had going on. I think the same was true for Mike to a degree. Like, but we all three of us just went straight smack.
Yeah.
So there was
Mike
no...
Mike told me on the Witscopes that he honestly, and I don't know how much truth is behind this, he honestly didn't think he was going to be the Smack-Off this year until he came out of retirement.
I believe that's true.
And so he had to come up with a script right away. The other thing is, I don't know if you heard him say that he basically held him up for ransom. he said that he had knowledge that he was going to have O.J. Simpson on his call. And that he was gonna ruin his surprise if he didn't pay him money or something like that. I'm like, the shit we don't hear on the Jim Rome show that comes out on these side shows, man, it's gold.
I think that's why people like them. Like, at least some people. I mean, obviously only the diehards listen to this stuff, but you get a little insight into some of these Smack-Off guys, and, like, I know back in the day before I ever called or anything, I would have liked to have heard what these guys had to say in kind of a longer form thing. And, like, it's funny because I hated some guys and I like some guys, and now I'm kind of, like, interacting with them and, like, on friendly terms with them, and I've had long form conversations with them, and you actually get to see what they're about, and they're nothing like you perceive them to be based on phone calls.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you had Benny and Wisco on your podcast, and he broke down the day of going to California last year, man, I was so reeled in. I mean, from start to finish, dude, that you heard, like, him talking about how nervous he was, and when he's on the phone call, he's not sitting in a room by himself. Across the room, you have Dan Lesk and Silk Bra, and I don't remember who else, but it's like, Sports Illustrated, Ben Golliver.
Right.
You know, you can't get that stuff out just listening to Smack-Off, dude.
No, I agree. And, like, because his rookie year was also my rookie year, the fact that he had to do it in front of all those guys, like, mad props. And not only that, he fucking crushed it. So, like, you gotta give him mad props for being able to do it in front of those guys, because it was my first year that same year, and, like, I cleared out a big space just to myself because I didn't want anybody around.
Did you hear Rick in Buffalo had to bring a bucket to where he was?
I did hear that, and, like, my immediate response was, this guy never heard of a fucking cordless phone. What the fuck is the problem? Like, you can't, what kind of phone is he using?
He's committed, man. He had to get a cord with on his phone.
I heard that story, but then I immediately was thinking, I'm like, Rick, you're either living in 1991 with, like, a hardline, like, wire connected phone with no cell service, or you have serious bladder problems.
But, yeah, you know. So he goes after his dad in the snack-off call. What's your thought on that?
That was, I mean, Rick was awesome. He, like, for his rookie year, that was fine showing. And, yeah, like, that was something different, which I think is always welcome. And it was funny. It was funny. So, like, really funny for me rules the day, and that part, especially of his call, was just absolutely funny.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I was laughing my ass off. Remember the day when his brain was to side-by-side with Dan in Denver and then he'd get a golden ticket and then get it ripped and then get a golden ticket and get ripped. Now look at him. I mean, the dude's grown.
I was in that same little group in there. It was kind of the three of us smacking on each other.
I think you were a level above.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm not just saying that, dude. It was Dan going after Rick and Rick going after Dan. Yeah, you were kind of in the mix, but you were steps above them for sure.
I appreciate that. What did you think about Dan kind of winning his golden ticket this year and then falling on the sword and kind of, I don't know, bitching out?
Well, yeah, he's gonna look bad either way. So I don't know. he hasn't discovered his own brand yet. I mean, he's got potential. I'll give him that. Just because I'm not a big fan of Dan doesn't mean he doesn't have talent, you know. And it's if he wants to come in and call Jim Rome and beg for a, here's the thing, he comes in as a badass. That's kind of like his brand right there. But then he comes in, he doesn't get his gold ticket, and then a week later he calls in and he begs for a gold ticket. That like changed his whole entire image. And Jim Rome did not like that. You're Dan in Denver. That's not why I remember the name. It's not, hey, can I please have a golden ticket? It's two different things, and that totally worked against him.
Yeah.
Dan falling on a sword is probably the best move he could possibly do after this year. But I can't say that he won't be there next year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think there was no other move for him this year. Like, and it didn't really turn out that way because there was time at the end of the show. But there was such a fat field this year in the smack off that, like, I think guys like Dan, even if he maintained his ticket, like, he would have been hard pressed to get on. I think he probably would have based on how it turned out. But beforehand, it didn't seem like it would be that way.
Yeah, I mean, like, going back to the whole Jeff and Richmond, did he even call in?
He did call in. He called in. He was on hold for hour one, but I think he only had hour one that he was available, which is his own fucking problem. Like, I'm not sticking up for the guy.
Makes himself available.
This is what I heard. He was only available for hour one, and they wanted to pit him and Rick kind of near each other, I think.
Yeah.
So Rick didn't go till hour two, so by the time Rick went, Jeff had already had to hang up. And like Rome says, man, he's like, well, that's your own fucking prerogative, right? Like, take the day off, figure it out, or don't bother.
Yeah.
And like you said about Chad in L.A., like how little respect Chad in L.A. treated it with. Rome was pissed off the next day. He's like, you treated it with as little respect as I have for you right now, Chad.
Yeah. What about the characters of Miss Nika and Mona? Do you think they should have been the smack-off?
I think that's fine. I think it's always good to have, like, you know, like some fresh blood and some kind of like interesting people that you don't really know what you're gonna get from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really have much of an opinion. I think Miss Nika, I love her, but you know, her coming in and saying tenderonis or whatever that thing was, ruining those tenderonis, that was awesome, dude. But it's like to get struck by lightning twice is gonna be almost hard.
Sure. One hit wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's funny. I think she could call in and make us all laugh again, but I don't think she's smack off worthy, to be honest.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
And then Mona. Yeah, come on. You don't smoke. I mean, we all know you do. You know, it's
right.
Where has she been since the smack off? The other one was Bodie in Pearland. It kind of disappointed me because he's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Didn't seem to have anything prepared. He was just kind of riffing.
I mean, he came on the night before the smack off. Stuffnut had his little show, and I was a guest on that. And Bodie called in, and he was already lit, dude. I mean, he was beyond lit. I think he was hanging out with another clone, if I'm not mistaken. But they were kind of to the point where he was so hungover.
Hey, drunk on shine, Bubba. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude, I love Bodie, dude. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I think everybody loves Bodie. He's universally beloved, I think.
Yeah, and for him to come in and apologize later on, that was a cool move. Because you got to give the smack off more respect than coming in with no script or, you know, not ready and all that. You're invited to one of the greatest events in any radio show in the history of mankind, and you come in like not even prepared. I'm flaming, I'm out. That's like, oh, seriously, yeah, man. You know how many people want to be in that spot?
Well, and like Jeff and Richmond, like he was pretty built up. Like they were kind of building him up as like the big comeback story, the former champ. And then like, you only get an hour that you can make the call. And what's this big comeback then? What are you even doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Rogan Loam.
That's the only line that keeps getting reset is the one where he's fucked up.
Yeah.
But I actually like Jeff back in the day. Like, I don't want to get it twisted, but I think his stuff kind of really was dated when he came back.
Yeah, he's almost better off not coming. That's my opinion, though. I mean, before he came on the Stucknut show first, and before that, I was like, every time I'd get like one of those Jungle Legends on the Woodscopes, I was like, do you know where I could find Jeff Richmond, dude? I even contacted the radio station in Richmond to see if they have any way of getting a hold of him, and never got any responses. But dude, I was kind of desperate for a while there. Then he came on the Stucknut show, and that night he had some pretty good smack on the Stucknut show. It got me all amped. And then he calls the Jim Rome show, and it was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it wasn't as exciting as I thought it was gonna be. Maybe I was just had so built up in my head that it just kind of disappointed me.
Yeah,
that he didn't change that much, but. I don't know. It was cool to have him back, but for him to not show up in the smack off when the two themes were the Canadian boys and the old versus new, that kind of eliminated that. I guess that kind of worked out better for you, though. I mean, you know,
sure.
So kind of put more focus on you guys.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think it worked out better for us for sure. But I don't think it sits well with guys like Rome, who like hypes him up, you know, like for weeks in advance, and then the guy's just like he's able to clear an hour. But you know, I get it. Guys want to fit it in, but like, I feel like you either got to kind of fully commit to it or just don't bother.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's absolutely right. What was I going to ask you?
Yeah, we're turning the tables here. I like it.
Oh man, so yeah, sorry.
No, I like it, man. This is good. This has been a good back and forth conversation. Yeah, no, I think it's really been going well. We're like Rome and Stephen A. Smith right now.
I haven't listened to that one yet, dude. Don't spoil it.
It's good, man. I'm a big Stephen A. Smith guy, so it's like I'm obviously a bigger own guy, but Stephen A. Smith is hilarious.
When Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless go head to head.
Yeah. I had five Hall of Famers text me. Yeah. No, he's the man.
Oh man, I don't know, I think we covered everyone in the smack off though, did we not?
Yeah, I think we did. You know, a couple guys in the mid card that we left out, but that's fine. Yeah.
Tyler was good too. Tyler was really good.
Yeah, I thought he deserved a better fate myself. In fact, when they were doing the top 10 and I kind of got 10th, I sent him a text right away that I'm like, looks like you beat me, because I assumed he'd be higher than me. But
No, you guys both did really good.
If you're not first, you're last thing. Like, I know like guys like to break down the top five and the top blah, 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 but it really is, it's always has been. It's like first prize is $5,000, second prize, nothing. Like, it's really, you know, that's kind of how I've always viewed it. So 10th sucks, but it kind of tears you to where you slot next year when you call. But apart from that, I don't think it means much.
But you got to remember, like I said, you're a character in one of the greatest shows of all time.
Fuck it, man. Yeah, yeah.
The other thing was Jeff Passan, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jeff Passan and Chael Sonnen.
Yeah, let's.
Chael Sonnen, I've never been a fan of Chael Sonnen. I think the guy is an arrogant piece of shit. And for him to come in and just try to take out the host 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
If it didn't work the first year, I don't know. Do you think he must be on PEDs again? Because I guess when some things don't work out for him, he just tries it again.
Yeah, I think that he was trying to come at it differently and. Like you say, came at it differently the same way 2 years in a row, which just doesn't make any sense to me. But I did hear him on a podcast after the smack off where he admitted that he fucked up. He's like, yeah, he's like, maybe my idea. He's like, I thought it was brilliant, but maybe it was not such a hot idea.
Yeah, maybe he needed to go check out, like, get his concussion protocol.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's got a title and a half. Like, he's a, you know, he's got pedigree. There's years where his call was the best. And, like, I hate admitting that because I'm not a Chael. I've never been a big Chael Smagov guy, but he is good. Like, there's no way around that.
Well, for a mediocre clone like me, like, you know, what we were discussing earlier, the guys who listened to the show but never got involved, I remember when he won, I was like, oh, that was just a publicity stunt. You know, yeah. It was kind of like, we got to make sure he wins. But then you go back and listen to it, and it's like, yeah, okay, I get it.
I agree, man. I've gone back and listened to it a couple times, and it's vicious smack. Like, it's awesome.
Good. Yeah. Jeff Passan was good.
Yeah.
Last year, I was like, are you serious, dude?
It's brutal. And he sounded like he was like driving on the highway and like eating popcorn. Like, you couldn't have given less of a shit.
He was eating hot dogs, man.
Yeah. Well, that was like the line I added to my call right after his, was just like, unwar him not even having the respect for this event. He's damn hard line, right? Like, that, they did piss me off. Because, like I was just saying to you, like, be all in or don't bother.
Exactly.
But he at least owned that, too. But, you know, like we were just saying, Chael, even me being in a competition with a guy like Chael Sonnen, a guy like Jeff Passan, not let alone finishing ahead of them. Like, yeah, I finished 10th, but it kind of sucks. It's like, yeah, but I beat Chael Sonnen and Jeff Passan, and like I'm one under Vic and NoCal. You know, like it's kind of like when you look at it in terms of, I never thought I'd even be here. It's pretty damn cool. But that said,
it's really cool, man. I mean, I ran cross country in high school. And my senior year, I finished, I want to say, I can't remember, but I medaled at state. And I was so stoked. And basically, where I finished at state high school in my Class B division, dude, you finished 10th place in the marathon, in the New York Marathon. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I'll take that.
So it's you got to remember that. So it's, your call was great. And I think you have potential. You and Tyler both, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, we do bear in mind it was our only, like, only our second run. But, you know, it was kind of like it was really hyped. So I think maybe now that we've kind of established ourselves as smack-off caliber callers, we don't have to push as hard this year. And we can kind of get into the competition kind of on normal terms with everybody else rather than kind of trying to plant our flag like we did this year and maybe see where that gets us. But... that's a long way.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what you did this year was really epic, man.
It was a ton of fun. Yeah. It was a ton of fun.
You guys were a topic of conversation every single day in the jungle.
Yeah, man, it was wild. I honestly had never experienced anything like that. Just like the Twitter and like the texts and the amount of love and hate that was coming in. It was something to behold. And even getting like a player profile for the smack off and shit like that. Like, that was pretty unexpected. And shout out to Hawk for putting that together, because that was pretty badass.
That was cool. When you and Tyler took over the studio on Brian Weber's day,
how much
planning was into that?
Like half an hour.
For real?
Yeah. We just got to texting.
Music and everything in the background?
I was at home from work that day. Usually I'm not, like, the smack off. I was off, but usually I'm at work if I'm putting in a call. But that day I was off, and like, I don't know what his deal was, but I'm like, I have my laptop and stuff in front of me, so I'm like, why don't we, because I knew it was like with Weber, we'll get a little more rope, we can screw around a little more. So I'm like, why don't we do like a fake segment where like we bump in the intro music again and we just start acting like we're hosting the show until they just run us. I'm like, we'll just go until they run us. And then pretty much right where our script ended is where they ran us. It was pretty good.
That's good. No, the look on Weber's face, dude.
He was like, pissed. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he was pissed, but he was like, I don't know what to do. I've had a guy call me up on the Windscopes, and he's like, oh, I like your ears. Right. Oh, you're so sexy. And it's like, a part of me wants to keep him on for an hour, and a part of me wants to like jump to the phone and strangle the guy. But dude, it's like, it's part of the show now. It's almost like I'm hoping the guy does it again.
No, 100%. But I think one of the cooler aspects to your show is like the open phones. And the fact that people can just kind of hop in, and like I've even done, like if something topical comes up involving somebody, they can chime in real time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, September 7th, no guests, man. We're doing open phones only.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everybody mark that down, September 7th, 12 wood on Periscope.
Yeah, that's the anniversary of the first wood scopes. I mean, it's like 2 days off, but September 7th, so.
1 year anniversary.
Yeah, a couple days shy, but we're gonna have my brother there again, and we're gonna have open phones. You better call in, dude.
Sure, man. Yeah, I think barring me being off the continent, which may happen but unlikely, then I'll definitely call in.
Well, if you do, we still have Skype, so.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you're on vacation, I can only understand that because you know.
It wouldn't be vacation, but it would be distant travel. But
all
right, I could make it happen. You know, hotel rooms all have Wi-Fi these days.
Yeah, right. No, then you pretty much have to.
Yeah, man.
Well, I'll hold you to it.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Anything else on your mind before we wrap this up?
Dude, you're excellent to talk to. I could talk to you for 10 hours easily.
That flew by.
Thanks for having me on. I mean, anytime you want to come on the Woodscopes, man, you're more than welcome.
I'm always, you know me, I don't mind hopping in and stealing Che in the Bay's time or whoever I stole from last time. But, yeah, who you got coming up? I know you're off tomorrow. We're recording this Thursday night, so I know you're off tomorrow, but who do you have coming up the following week? Other than Lee in Vancouver, that motherfucker.
Lee, Blaze.
Blaze.
None of these guests that I have are stones, so I'm not going to advertise them until I know for sure, but Blaze, Lee in Vancouver, Jacob in NorCal, maybe, possibly, small chance, Caleb in Green Bay.
Nice.
You know, Left and Laguna was asking me if I could get Graham Lake on. Dude, I'd love to have Graham Lake on.
Yeah, he's funny.
But the thing
is,
if all these guys come in, it's going to be hard for me to squeeze another guest in. So, if they don't, then totally Graham Lake would be an awesome guest.
Yeah, I'm on board with Graham Lake. That'd be good. And, tell Lee.
Graham Lake is funny.
If you don't mind telling Lee to go fuck himself for me with love, that would be awesome.
I'd absolutely do that for you, man.
With love. I love to change you.